Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Cześć! Dzień dobry! Mojego do zobaczenia! Miło mi poznać! So that just means hello, good morning. It is so good to see you all again and to meet so many new faces. It is a joy to be with you. Wow, coming back home. Feels like just coming back home again.
Amen. Amen. God is so faithful. We honestly did not know that we would be making a trip back out here to the Northwest, because the original plan was we should have been in Poland now for at least a month at this stage. But some things got delayed, and there was things with visas that we had to work through, because for us to get visas, when we went to Russia, you'd think going to Russia, and then we went to Vietnam as well, which is a communist country, that they would be very strict on their requirements with visas. We just did it through the mail.
Yeah.
But then when we went and contacted the Polish embassy, they said, guess what? You get to visit us in person. We said, well, we didn't have to with Russia, and we didn't have to with Vietnam. They said, we're not Russia, we're not Vietnam, we're Poland. Okay. So in May, we had to make a trip to Washington, D.C., and have personal interviews at the Polish embassy to receive our visas. And God has worked out some tremendous things.
Yes.
The visas, I'll quick testimony, and then you can keep sharing. So quick testimony with those visas. So, you know, you got all this paperwork and stuff that you have to fill out and file. And, you know, they told us that there would be certain things that you would have to bring with you, proof of insurance, international health insurance. And there was some miscommunication from the embassy to us. And so we had the insurance, but we thought they only required for like the initial first few weeks going into country. And when we got to D.C. and we were sitting there having our interviews, they said, well, there's two problems. You have insurance, but it's not long enough. That's one problem. And your second problem is that your insurance does not show that you have a zero deductible. And I looked at the lady and I said, most health insurance plans do not have a zero deductible. And if they do, the premium on those is like just out of sight to have a zero deductible. She said, well, without a zero deductible and a long enough length of time on your insurance, we will not issue you a visa, plain and simple. Get on the phone. Here's the first miracle, to get on the phone and actually contact your insurance agent. That's a miracle. And got on the phone and boom, Adam was right there. And I said, Adam, this is what they're saying. We're here at the embassy. They're not going to issue the visas because they said the length of our insurance is not long enough. Nah, no problem. We got that covered. He said, I'll shoot you a letter and it'll state you got insurance for the entire year because our visa's good for 1 year. So you'll have the insurance for that year. And I said, well, here's the other issue, is that they want a zero deductible. He said, I've never heard of a foreign country asking for a zero deductible. But he said, we've got it. He said, give me 20 minutes. I'll have you a letter. It will show that you have insurance for a year at a zero deductible, and we're not going to raise your premium. God's at work.
Yeah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
God is faithful. For an insurance company to do that, you know that's God.
Yes, we have seen God's favor in such mighty ways. You know, sometimes when God gives you a dream, or when he puts something in your heart, it doesn't just always happen overnight. And Europe has been in our hearts for years. And I don't know, we never dreamed of going to Poland though, but God. When we were here last time, we were talking about going to the UK, and that's what we thought. But God had this plan in mind, even before we saw it. Where we're going to be living in Poland, my family heritage is Lithuanian. So we're just going to be, we're right up in the northern part of Poland, right up on the Baltic Sea. And Lithuania is just right there. I mean, we'll only be 2 hours away. Then we found out Steve's family that he didn't even know about, that he has a great, great, great grandmother. Is that right? That he found out, what's her name?
Winsky.
Winsky. That she's Polish. And that he didn't even know he had Polish heritage. And the town that she was born in, 2.5 hours south of where we'll be living. I mean, is God not amazing? That from the foundations of the world, he knew us. Mm-hmm. He knows you.
That's right.
I mean, that to think that generations later, God is sending us to that part of the world where we have our heritage from. Wow. God is so amazing.
Yes,
so
is.
Those dreams that God's put in you, you got to keep those alive.
Mm-hmm.
You got to keep seeing them and speaking them and
stir it up.
Amen. Amen.
So we are going, as Pastor said, in about 31 days, we leave, and we're connected with Rhema, working with Rhema, and we will be going to help plant the first Rhema campus in Central Europe. So, in particular in Poland, it will be the first Rhema campus in the nation of Poland, of 39 million people. We just found out recently that there's two other Rhema grads who graduated recently from Rhema Greece that are Polish that live in Poland. So, when Pam and I get there, there will be 4 Rhema grads in the nation of Poland. And they're on the other side of the country from where we're going to be living, too. And so, God is birthing this campus. This school will be starting in September of 2020, so this first year will be spent when in September, we become full-time students in Polish language school. Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
We can do all things through Christ strengthens us. Amen.
And we're encouraged by Sherry back there who speaks Czech, so thank you, Jesus. So we will be doing that and then building a lot of relationships. We found when we were there in November that they are very relational type people. And so they said that if Rhema is going to do anything and make an impact in this country, you have to be about relationship building. And when the pastors there in Poland said that to the group, Pam and I just looked at each other and said, God, we know you've called us here because
yeah.
we are relational. And so learning the language, one pastor said, learning the language of that nation is like building the bridge to the hearts of the people.
Mm-hmm.
And so when you learn the foreign language, and we've been reading a Tim Rogers book, many of you may not know, he and his wife, but they oversee Rhema Mexico. And he wrote this book several years ago, and he said, the learning of the language is not for your benefit. It's so that you can deposit the things of God into the lives of the people.
That's right.
See, when you're ministering or when pastor's ministering, you not only are hearing the word, but it's flowing from the heart of that person that's speaking. And so like the word becomes alive to us. Well, when you're ministering overseas through translation, some of that's lost. Because that translator can translate words, but they can't translate your heart. And so learning the language and being able to communicate with people. Now, we don't expect in the first month to be fluent, but maybe by December, and you know, we'll confess that. But enough to where they can sense the heart.
Absolutely.
Of what's being said and shared. And so we'll spend that year just building relationships, going all over Poland, also into Lithuania, Latvia, Estonia, Czech Republic, Slovakia, Belarus. I mean, we're going into these nations and taking the gospel. Praise
Amen.
God. Praise God.
And some may wonder, well, why Poland? But, you know, it's very strategic in this hour that we go to Poland. It's amazing how God has opened the doors, the relationships that our government has with their government at this time. We have such favor.
Yes.
It's been amazing. And so that's awesome. But, you know, Poland, less than 1% of the population is born again. That's going to change.
Yes,
less than 1%, though. Now, they're a very religious country. Catholicism is their 97%. Of Polish people are Catholics. And they do have a reverence and a respect for the things of God, but very, very few know God.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very few know Him as Lord and Savior.
Okay.
So they need to discover that. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
And Let me tell you this. This will excite you. So 2 years ago, we saw this. You can even look it up on YouTube. But 2 years ago, there was a group that was crying out, kind of rising up, declaring that they wanted a king in Poland. They wanted a king over Poland. Now, they have a prime minister and a president. But this group was rising up and gaining some traction. And the religious leaders and the government leaders got together and they made this decision and declaration, and they did it on national television, made a whole service over it. They declared the only king over Poland will be Jesus Christ, mm-hmm. our king. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. Wow, isn't that awesome? Now, I don't know that they really understood what they did that day. Mm-hmm. But God is blessing Poland. It is actually becoming the most prosperous European country. Because, I mean, their jobs, everything. So see, they've gotten into the blessing flow. And they don't even know what they did.
Yeah,
hallelujah.
Right. God is so awesome.
But it's strategic.
It is. From there, God will birth other campuses, we believe, throughout Poland. And then throughout that Central and Eastern European location, God is going to just do some things. You know, we're in the last days. And God prophesied and spoke, you know, to Brother Hagin and then also to Pastor Hagin that Rhema would have a part, that our part would be, you know, to expand the kingdom in these last days. And so just the other night I was reflecting on this and thinking that as we see Rhema expand, then that is really letting us know that we are in these last days, in these last hours. You know, we have now 253 campuses, Rhema does, all over the world.
Yeah.
About 18,000 students a month are registered all across the world currently. The vision is for 1,000 campuses with 100,000 students a month to be enrolled. That's the vision, mm-hmm. the long-term vision for Rhema. And so as we see God expanding Rhema, that's just a little clue that we're in these last days.
Yes.
That this thing's wrapping up and that God would send a couple like us to a nation of 39 million people that have less than 1% born again believers, that has one gospel church for every 76,000 citizens. Mm. And that God would send people to a nation like that, and not just to a nation, but strategically locate us. You know, Gdansk, Poland was where World War II started. And even prior to 1939, Hitler and Stalin decided they would divide Poland. They didn't include Poland in this decision. They said, we will divide, and so they did. And so they divided Poland. So the Nazis had part of Poland, and Soviet Union had part of Poland until Hitler got tired of Stalin, and then the Nazis took over until 1946. Probably 90% of the 6 million plus Jews that were killed in the Holocaust were Polish Jews. So they have suffered and suffered and suffered for many, many years. But in a natural sense, these nations that have suffered under communism and have been so oppressed, they've embraced liberty like many nations have not embraced liberty. So to seize the opportunity, because we know that, yes, living in the United States, you can have what we think as liberty and still be bound, can't you?
Yeah.
Because it's whom the sun sets free. That person is truly free.
Yeah.
Not a constitution. And we love our country. We were there in Washington, D.C. We saw the Constitution. We saw the Bill of Rights. So grateful for that. But that has a limitation. But whom the sun sets free,
hallelujah,
is truly free indeed. Amen.
So we thank you guys so much, man. We love this church body. We love your pastors. And we're just excited. And we get to be just extensions of this body. We're your hands and feet because you guys are supporting us monthly. And we thank you for that. Thank you for your prayers. We have a table back there. So if you haven't received one of our prayer cards, please pick a prayer card up. And you can sign up to receive our monthly e-newsletters. And we will keep you posted on things. It's going to be exciting.
Amen.
So bless you guys.
Praise God. Praise the Lord. Romans chapter 12 and verse 11. John Wesley had this quote. He said, "Light yourself on fire with passion and people will come from miles to watch you burn." When you light yourself on fire with passion. And really for the last month for sure, the Lord has really been speaking to me and dealing with me and getting me to look at the subject of living zealously. Living with zeal. And just with pastors in Bozeman on Friday night, and great service there with Pastor Dan and Joan Greenewalt. And we were talking Friday night and yesterday, and he said, you know, there was a point, he said, where I kind of got complacent. And I'm not saying anything that he wouldn't want me to share. He said, I just got complacent. And we could probably all reflect and look at our own walks with the Lord and say, there's been seasons and times in our lives where we've just gotten complacent, where we've kind of gone through the motion. We know how to do the drill. You know, get up, do your devotion, because it's part of the drill. Go to church, because it's part of the drill. Make it through Monday through Saturday, and then we just do it all over again. Here's Monday again. Just do it again. Oh, there's a men's breakfast. Maybe I'll go, because it's part of the drill. We come to church and we sing about being hungry, and we're thinking, yeah, I'm hungry. McDonald's, Burger King, KFC. But that's not really what the brother was leading us in the worship team, about being hungry for chicken nuggets. Oh, God, please send Chick-fil-A to Billings, Montana. He's not talking about that kind of, it's part of the drill. And the Lord has been really challenging us to really examine our walk with Him. And are we living zealously for Him, serving Him? And it says here in Romans 12:11 out of the NIV, it says, never be lacking in zeal. I mean, if you just stop right there, that's a lot. To never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. So in my service to the Lord, there's two things that I need to have: zeal and spiritual fervor. They don't kind of just go hand in hand. Spiritual fervor and zeal in my service to the Lord, not just doing it because it's the drill. And we're going to Poland, and we're doing it because, man, the Lord has just really put a fire in us to see a nation change, and to see nations change, to see people's lives changed. Not because it's some cool trip. Now, hey, when we were there in November, it was cool. Go out there on our banner and you'll see we got muffs on and our heads are covered. It was literally cool. But it was also amazing to walk on those cobblestone streets in the city of Gdansk, Poland, and to know that you're walking on streets that are 1,100 years old. And standing in front of buildings that, you know, for centuries people have walked those streets and called that their home, or sailors would come into the port of Gdansk and, you know, that would be their stop-off point. And that's been happening for centuries, and well before our, I mean, you talk 240 years compared to 1,100. I mean, we're nothing in age to some of these countries. And as cool as that may be, that's not what it's driving us to go. It's the zeal and the fervency in our service to Him. And you don't have to be a pastor, a missionary, an evangelist to live this way. We are all called, because in Romans 12:11, he didn't say the pastor, don't be lacking in zeal. The missionary, make sure you have spiritual fervor. He said, no, we all should not be lacking in zeal in our service to the Lord. And when you look at that definition of zeal from the Oxford Dictionary, it's simply this: great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. To have great energy or enthusiasm in pursuit of a cause or an objective. And then when we dig a little bit deeper and we're talking about having Christian zeal, And in Isaiah 59:17, Isaiah had kind of a, if we want to say, a glimpse ahead of what Paul was going to write later on, when Paul would then begin to write in Ephesians about putting on the whole armor. Isaiah had a glimpse into the future, because in Isaiah 59:17, he says we're to wrap ourselves in zeal as a cloak. We're to be covered in zeal. We're to have this garment on us. So I would say that an additional piece to our armor should be this cloak of zeal that we are covered in. That we're not just going about doing things for God because, hey, it's the thing that I do. I'm a Christian, so it's just part of the drill. It's just part of the cycle that I'm walking in. Know that we are on fire for Him. Amen. You see, Christian zeal, and I'm saying Christian zeal because we call ourselves Christians, so I'm not saying godly zeal, because then we think, well, that's Him. So that doesn't really apply to me because I'm not on His level. But Christian zeal, where we all live and where we all walk, Christian zeal is the design or the divine flame that brings our affections. Catch this. Having this zeal for Him brings our affections to a boil for the cause of God. That my affections become His. You quote that scripture in Psalms, I think 37:4, where He'll, you know, give you the desires of your heart. And I would quote that, man, you give me the desires of my heart. Give me the desires of my heart. Give me the desires of my heart. And I'm still not the PGA professional golf chaplain. That was a desire of my heart, to go on tour as the PGA professional golf chaplain. I figured those guys need to have the ministry of the word, and I could travel with them every weekend. And instead, what's happening? We're going to Poland. Not Pinehurst, not Pebble Beach, but Poland. Because see, when your affections are aflame to a boiling point, your affections become His. And He does give you the desires of your heart, because then the desires of your heart become, God, what can I do for You? How can I serve You? How can I touch a person's heart and life? How can I be, you know, used by You, God, whether it's to minister to kids, to go to a prison? I used to, years ago, before I met Pamela, Sunday mornings, I was always late to church on Sunday mornings. Always late. Quite a bit late. Get there just in time for the worship service. Miss the Sunday school and get there just in time for the worship service to start, because I was in two county jails on Sunday morning, every Sunday morning, ministering to men behind bars, some ready to go to prison, some who would be getting out for minor offenses, but every Sunday going. And there were some Sundays that I didn't want to go, Pastor. I'll be real. There were some times I didn't want to talk to some of those guys, especially when you find out their story. Because I'm thinking, you should be in here, and you should not only be in here, but you should be somewhere else where we never see you again. But then the Lord starts working on your heart. And your desires become His. And your desire is to see that kind of individual's life change and turned around. And I remember speaking to one young man before he was sent off to prison, to be in prison for the rest of his life because he killed his estranged wife. And he was young, he was in his 20s. Shot her on the street there, right in front of everybody in our little town back in Humboldt, Tennessee. And I remember talking to him for several weeks before he was sent off to prison. And I said, you're going to spend the rest of your life, your days on earth will be behind bars. But I want you to know that God loves you. And He sent His Son to die for you. And there was such an openness. I don't know whatever happened to this young man, where he was sent after he left the county system. I don't know. But I believe that God spoke to him in those moments. You see, when your affections become a flame for Him, then it's all about God's cause. And it's not me showing up in prayer time and saying, God, here's my list and my request. But it's coming to prayer and saying, God, I'm just open to whatever you want to speak into my heart. Whatever you want to download into me this morning. God, I'm all ears. Why? Because it's all about you, God. And it's no longer about me. It's not me. God, I need you to do this. I need you to rescue me from this. And I need you to take care of this right now. It's saying, God, I'm all yours because I understand that with my affections and my desires aflame with your cause, that God, you've got all that other stuff taken care of. That's handled. I'm all about you. See, Christian zeal, it enlivens and compels us. It stirs and empowers us. It directs and governs us. And it sets our affections ablaze for the glory of God. Christian zeal. And I believe the Lord's been stirring that in me because as we've traveled and had the privilege for the last year and a half, traveling all over the United States and then for about 3 to 4 months last year in Europe, I see oftentimes where we're just going through the motions. We're just doing it. You know, it's, okay, another meeting. Get in the car. Let's drive another 10 hours. Let's live out of the suitcase. You know, we're into week number 5 on this last trip. And it's great living out of a suitcase for 6 weeks. Thank the Lord we found a place in Spokane that had a washing machine. You know, you can only carry so many pair of underwear in your suitcase. And you know, you think, this is, what a glamorous life. You know, throwing away your diet practically because you're just finding a place to eat. Trekking on roads that you wouldn't normally travel because the interstate was flooded and so you couldn't go that way. So we're going these back roads in Nebraska. Nah, man, that's exciting. Well, one little knob after the next. It's like, Lord, keep me awake, would you please? But why do you do these things? Why do you go to places? Why are we here this morning? We're not here just, oh, we hope these people will support us. And you guys do, and we are blessed because of that. We're here because we're on fire for him, and we want you to understand that as we're on fire for Poland and for Europe, we want you to be on fire for Billings and your neighborhoods and where God has planted you, amen. And that together we're burning, and like Wesley said, we light ourselves up on fire with passion for him, and because of that, many will come from miles to watch you burn. And I believe that we'll have many coming for miles there in Poland and surrounding countries because they're hearing about God and what God can do and how God can set them free. And they'll come for miles to be a part of Rhema Bible College there in Gdynia, Poland. But he's no respecter of persons. He'll do the same here in Billings, Montana when we're on fire with him. You see, zeal is earnest desire. Earnest desire and concern for all things pertaining to the glory of God. Nothing about me. It's an earnest desire and concern for him and his kingdom, his bride, his body. How can I serve? See, when you serve in this church, and disclaimer, pastors, we didn't talk before service. But when you serve in this church, you're not serving them. You're serving him. Because it's about his kingdom. When we go to Poland, we're not serving Rhema. We're serving him. Because we're not building Rhema's kingdom. It's not about building a Rhema kingdom. We're building his kingdom. And God is using Rhema to build his kingdom. We're not serving the Hagans. Yes, in some sense, we are serving the Hagans and the vision that God gave to Brother Hagan. We're helping to fulfill that vision. But we're serving him. And we're burning with passion because of him. And I've been in this thing for a long time. I know I look young. I look like a kid. I know that. And Brett, you and I have the most beautiful hairstyle, brother. I was going to call you up and have you stand next to me because there's some saying that we look like we're related. And it's because we just look so good. I mean, Let's just face it. That's just what it is. But we're passionate about him and these years of serving the Lord and being in this thing. I'm not less passionate. I'm more passionate about God. Just because I'm more knowledgeable and I have more experiences with him, I'm not less passionate. I'm more passionate for the things of God. When the worship team leads us in a song about being hungry, yes, I'm hungry. I'm hungry for more of God. And if that hunger drives us to get on an airplane in 31 days and move to a nation where we can say chess. But you know, if that's all you can say, you're going to be really limited. But we're motivated to sit in a class from, what was it, like 9 o'clock to 1:30 in the afternoon, Monday through Friday? How many of you would volunteer to sit in language school from 9 to 1:30? Be praying for us. But why? Because we're inflamed. Our passions have become his, and he's about people. He doesn't delight seeing anyone in Billings, Montana on their way to hell. And so God has infused you. I was thinking this morning, Romans 8:11, that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells. And I got excited. I got excited thinking that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. How could I not live passionately? How could I not be burning with a fervency in serving him when I think that the same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me and is quickening this mortal flesh? Thank God for that. Thank God I don't need some type of drug to pep me up, to get me high, to get me motivated, to get me stirred up. Oh, I got to face another week, so give me another hit. Give me another drink. I'm glad I don't need that. I've got a realization that I've got a God who died. He sent his son Jesus to die for me. And that same spirit that raised him from the dead dwells in me. That he could take a little stone in a shepherd's sling and take down a giant. Man, when you think about that, that's not anything. He didn't say pull out the bazookas. He didn't say, call the cavalry. He said, David, if you believe me, pick up a stone, launch it, and man, with the power of the Holy Spirit behind it, it took down the giant. Praise God. You see, because zeal, one of the characteristics of Christian zeal is that it's based on the Word of God. It's not just something that you just, build up in the flesh. It's based on the Word. And when you've got the Word and the knowledge of the Word, and you understand and you see these things, man, you'll be on fire because you think, that's my God. That's my God who's working for me. That's my God who will take loaves and fishes and feed thousands. That's my God. That's your God. Why would we not be passionate for someone like that? I mean, they'll scream when a basket goes into a hoop. They'll be thrilled when a ball is kicked over a post, a pigskin that's run into an end zone. End zone means end. Yeah! And they'll shout and they'll scream and they'll just be stupid and passionate for those things. And we've got the King of Kings, folks, who can multiply bread and fishes and feed thousands and thousands and still have leftovers. He can take 300 and beat tens of thousands. And when you put it on the Word, oh man, you get excited and stirred, and that zeal. And the Lord he's been challenging me. He's, check your zeal level. Get your faith stick, and I want you to check your zeal level. Because, yeah, you've been focused on all these other pieces of the armor, but I believe you need to reevaluate. Do you have that cloak of zeal? Are you wrapped in that cloak of zeal? So that cloak was important to that Roman soldier. It brought him warmth. shelter to some degree. And you can't fight a battle effectively if you're wet, cold, and you've not slept well. See, they still had to fight battles. And that cloak provided them warmth in the cold. It was oiled so that when it rained, it provided them some dryness from the rain. And if we're not wrapped in that zeal, we'll go about doing this thing, just doing it. Oh, gotta get through it. Gotta get through it. Can you imagine if Pastor Sean and Heidi, when they were preparing for the message, if he's just sitting there during the week, oh, Lord, just help me get through this. You know, I got to preach to those people again. Just help me get through this. And then he comes up here. All right, everybody, let's turn to Genesis chapter 5, verse 13. Sadly, that's what's happening in many places of worship all over this nation, because the passion is gone. The zeal is gone. We knew of a pastor, Mihong. She pastored a Methodist church in northern Missouri years ago. And she made the statement, I'm doing this because it's my job. And we were there in that little Missouri town a few times. Well, Pam's family lived there. And for a season, her mom was used mightily in that church. So we went, and she had us participate in communion, pastors. It was kind of interesting. And so we participated in communion, and here's this Korean Methodist woman that was just doing her job. It wasn't a calling. It was a job. It got her to America, basically. So it was her job. And when she prayed, I mean, it was just like the spirit of death came over the place, because there was no life. There was no passion. Absolutely zero zeal when it came to God. No life. And then it was our turn to pray. Pray over the elements. Well, man, we're praying from passion, from life. And the response you'd get from people afterwards. We were in another Methodist church. God just blesses us and lets us get into some of these denominational churches. And I remember preaching on the baptism of the Holy Spirit in the Methodist church. And I had several of the congregants come up to me afterward and said, we were wondering if you would like to become our pastor, or think about maybe getting rid of them. They had a pastor. Because I said, he gets up and talks about the softball team and how they lost. But you actually preach from the Bible. See, people can distinguish someone who's talking to them because you're living a life of zeal and passion for God, rather than, well, they mentioned on Sunday about being a witness, so can I tell you about Jesus? As opposed to, can I tell you what Jesus did in my life? That's a difference. Passion and zeal. I'm going to go maybe 5 minutes over 12. Is that okay, Pastor? It's all, I don't know why I ask. It's like he's going to say, no, cut it off, quit. I've thought that a bunch. You know, being a pastor as well, it's like, well, why do you put me in that position? I mean, so I'll make it quick. Here are four quick ways to really attain this zeal that I'm talking about. And I'm skipping, you know, I don't know, maybe the Lord will have us share a little bit more tonight along these lines. We'll see what he wants to do. But four ways to really to attain this zeal. The first one's prayer. Through prayer. We cannot not neglect our prayer life, folks. If you neglect your prayer life, you will not be a man or woman of God full of passion. Plain and simple. You say, well, I don't agree. Neglect your prayer life, you'll see. And Luke, I'm going to read these very quickly. Luke 11:13 says, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask, 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 ask. That's a conversation you're having with him. You're asking. So I've been asking the Lord, Lord, make me more passionate. Make me more passionate. Make me more passionate. It says that you have not because you ask not. You have not because you ask not. We cannot neglect this area of prayer. And so when you have the opportunities, and when the church does open up and says, we want to have corporate prayer, jump on it. Jump on it like your life depends. Because guess what? Your life does depend on it. Because if we can't pray corporately, how are we going to pray by ourselves? This is an easy place to hook up and pray and corporately pray and, well, I don't have time. Guess what? The enemy will make sure you never have time. Because even being in ministry full time and traveling like we are, we've got to seize the opportunities. So that means we have prayer meetings in the car. Because that's the bulk of where we spend most of our time these days, in the car. And so it's turn off the radio, and it's time to pray. And just spend time before the Lord. He infuses us. A second way that we attain this zeal is through God's word. You see, the preaching of the word is a powerful means of blowing on the coals of zeal and keeping them aflame. And so we have our personal times in the Word, and we should have those and not neglect those personal seasons and times where we're in the Word for ourselves. But when you come then into this setting, it's not Pastor Sean just preaching again, but you should be on the edge of your seat because the Holy Spirit's going to speak through the mouthpiece of the man and woman of God. And then those coals of zeal are going to be, when you know what happens when you blow on coals, that were once hot. If there's still a little bit of heat there, when that wind comes, it stirs it back up. When I was in the fire department, one of the worst things that we wanted to have happen is what we see happen oftentimes here in the Northwest are these fires, these forest fires. And the biggest concern that you have as a firefighter, what's happening with the winds? Because the winds become fuel for the fire. And when the wind of the Holy Spirit begins to blow through the mouthpiece of the man and woman of God into our hearts, a flame rekindled. And so we said, Lord, what are you going to say to me today? What are you going to speak through Pastor today that's going to burn inside of me? Speak to me through your word. So his word is so important for us in our personal times of reading. But then when we come to the house of the Lord, and then a third area in building up this zeal, it's through just meditating, just like I was this morning, meditating on that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead dwells in me. I meditated on that. Meditating on the stone that David flung and took down a giant. Meditating on the bread and the fishes being multiplied. Meditating on he took 300 with Gideon and took down thousands. Meditating on those things will cause that zeal and the fire to burn great within you. And Pastor Heidi said it earlier, when you reflect and you think of what God has done in the past for you and how God has ministered and how God has met needs and how God has taken care of situations, when you think about those things, man, it will burn awesomely inside of you. I don't have time this morning, so maybe tonight we'll share an amazing testimony that has happened to us while on this trip. So come back tonight. I'll leave it there. So we have prayer, we have the word, we have meditation, and then worship. And I would say public worship. Because we can all default to the fact and say, well, I worship at home. I worship in private. But in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 says, and let us consider one another. So we go down and we'll read verse 25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves, but verse 24 is vitally important. The reason why we don't forsake the assembling of ourselves, because we should be considering one another. No, I don't have time. I don't really feel like going. There's the story of the pastor. And he decided to skip church one Sunday morning, Pastor. He didn't go. He was fed up and done and just said, I need a day off, so he didn't go. So he decided he'll go play golf instead of being at the church and ministering to the people. And on this day, he got up and he hit one of the best shots he's ever hit on the golf course and made a hole in one. And he realized, there's nobody in the world that I can tell. Because I was supposed to be behind the pulpit preaching. So he was just thinking about himself. And our coming together is not just for my benefit, but according to verse 24, I should be what? Considering you. What? In order to stir up love and good works. See, by you coming today is stirring things in me and propelling me to go on to good works. My worshiping with you, and I appreciate the worship this morning, and just, you could, again, just when you're standing here in the front and you're just hearing, you hear the participation of people worshiping God, and it's just like, oh, this is good. This is so good, and it propels us to good works. It places a greater zeal in us. Meeting a Sherry and some of you others just who have a heart and a love for God, just it's like, praise God. Because then you realize you're not by yourself. You've got your brothers and you've got your sisters, and you're not doing this walk all alone. You've got others who are along with you. And so our public worship then together helps to build this passion and this zeal for him, because it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, exhorting one another, exhorting one another, not condemning, not putting down, but exhorting one another so much the more as you see the day approaching. Yes, you can do it. Yes, you can make it. Yes, you have. Stay in there. Stay with it. Come on, get up. Let's do this together. Let's run this race together. We are in this together, folks. We're in this together. We couldn't be doing what God has called us to do without you, because he's using you to help us do it. He's speaking through you and using you to help us do it. And let me, one last verse, and it's in Revelations chapter 3. The angel of the Lord was speaking to the church at Laodicea. He said, I'd rather you be hot or cold rather than lukewarm. Because you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you. Modern translation, I'm going to vomit you out of my mouth because you're neither hot or cold. But in verse 19, he said to the Laodiceans, he said, I charge you to be zealous. I charge you. You can see it there. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Be zealous and repent. Titus chapter 2 says to be zealous unto good works, that we're passionate for the kingdom. Passionate for the kingdom. So in your walk, don't just be doing the drill. But when you go into those private times of prayer, you go into it with an expectation and with a different fervency. Approach it differently tomorrow. When you open the Word to do your Bibles, approach it differently with a fervency that, God, I expect to hear something from your Word today. And it may just be one chapter that you were going to read. But you say, God, I expect there's a different fervency in your reading the Word. There's a different fervency when you're praying for your church and you're praying for your missionaries and you're praying for your country. When you pray that way, you have a greater expectancy. God, I don't expect our nation to fall to pieces, but you're moving. And he's not just moving in the United States, and thank God that he is. And I appreciated what you read earlier to open this service. Thank God that the Holy Ghost birthed this country so that the world could hear the gospel. And God is moving. God is touching lives all over Poland. In January of this year, they opened up 800 home groups because they don't have enough churches and people are getting born again, Spirit-filled in the Catholic Church, and they had nowhere to send them. So they started 800 home groups. And they've asked us to go into some of these home groups and start preaching just basic principles of the Word of God. God is moving. And God is looking for his bride to be a zealous, passionate bride for him. Pamela and I just celebrated 25 years of marriage just on the 25th of June. Wouldn't it be sad if I was less passionate for her than I was 25 years ago? That if she said, yeah, he used to like me. I think he actually might have loved me at one point. Now he kind of acts like, oh, any chance he can be away from me? I love traveling the world with her and getting to do God and live life together. It's wonderful. And with him and serving him, it's wonderful doing life and serving him and his purposes. And he wants us full of passion and zeal. So, Father, we thank you this morning. Thank you that you are stirring your body again to be a passionate bride, consumed with your glory, consumed with your purposes, and not so focused on ourselves, focused on our beauty and focused on our wants and focused on our needs, but so desirous for you, so hungry for you, even as that song that we sung this morning, so hungry for you and the things of you, God, that our affections are aflamed and burning so intensely for your purposes and for your kingdom to be built here on the earth and for lives to be changed and touched for your glory, God. Help us to examine our own lives and our own walk this morning to truly see, are we just going about doing this because we know the drill, we know how to be a Christian, or are we truly living out this life on fire for you? Help us, as John Wesley said, Lord, help us to light ourselves on fire, to be burning with passion. And then you'll bring people across our pathway who will want to see and want to know, why is it that you're burning like you are? Do that here at Faith Family Church here in Billings, Montana, Lord, I pray. Burn this place up with the Holy Ghost. Burn this place up with the power of the Holy Ghost, Lord. That it will be news, and it won't be news of forest fires. It will be Holy Ghost fire that is burning so intensely from Billings, Montana. You do it, Lord. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.